Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Monday, Cleveland. It feels like it was a busy weekend, but also a slow weekend all at the same time. I think what really happened was the fact that the Guardians sort of got into the mix and are right around the corner. So it starts to feel a little busier. We had March Madness. Things are going wild. The Browns are continuing to sort of dabble themselves in the news. The Cavs have a win under their belt, finally. And it's a good time. It's Jake Volnick with you guys here, 7 to 11 tonight and for the rest of the week on overtime. Dominic Clary on the board for us tonight as well. You heard her on the 2020s in Newark behind the glass, Mackenzie Flume. I told you guys on Friday I was going to give you an update because we attended our very first games of March Madness ever. And I'd tell you, everybody was talking about, should you go, should you not go? And everyone was giving their opinions. I said, I hadn't been to one, but I was going to. And I'll tell you what the final say is. You should absolutely go. Actually, kind of like a you should probably go. Because it was really weird. I obviously was on air on Friday, so we didn't get to go to the games on Friday. But I got to go last night. Alabama taking on St. Mary's and Michigan State taking on the Lobos of New Mexico. The first game, it was like, oh, this is it's fine. Things are like it, Alabama and St. Mary's. It didn't feel like there was a crowd there for either of them. The game was pretty good. I was enjoying myself. And then between the games, we're like, all right, let's get up. Let's walk around. You know, let's see what's going on. I was there with a couple of friends. And immediately as we walk out from the stands, the entire place is filled with green. It's all Michigan State fans. I was like, oh, this game's going to be different. I was like, this game is going to have a different feel to it, a change. And when I say we walked in there and it had for the second game, I think almost Cavs playoffs level atmosphere, it truly matched that. Now, the place wasn't completely sold out, so it missed that factor a little bit. It didn't quite get as loud. But you also were dealing with people like us, quite frankly, who were fans of neither team. And I was just there to, oh, this will probably be fun. And then you were dealing with both a very large and majority Michigan State fan, but also a really good crowd for the New Mexico fans as well. And I sat there and was like, what happened? I was genuinely confused by the change. Like, Michigan State makes a ton of sense. I mean, you're directly above. It's not a long trip. You come down, you support your team. They're the number two seed. It was by far the one that made the most sense. But, like, the New Mexico fans came out as well. Just, I was sitting there thinking the second game, I was like, wait a minute. Where were the Alabama fans? Where were the St. Mary's fans? They were just there, just not in the same level and did not take over the stadium nearly as much.
So you weren't there Friday. I was there all day Friday. First game is Alabama versus Robert Morris.
Right.
If I told you that the entire game was chanting for Robert Morris, like it was packed, chanting the entire time Robert Morris, would you believe me?
Based on the crowd that showed up for Alabama yesterday, yeah. And Robert Morris is obviously much closer. So,
but it's also a really small school.
Yeah.
Like this is a school, like I've gone to a football game there before and I was one of the only people there. In like a one-sided football stadium that's no bigger than a John Carroll, a Baldwin Wallace, Ohio Northern. It's a small stadium. But for basketball, and they have a really nice basketball stadium they renovated maybe 5 years ago, not even. It's maybe 6 years ago. they don't get a lot of support for a lot of their sports. Hawks really the only one, and they've been good since they brought the program back. But for basketball, I don't know where all these Yinzers came from. I don't know who they belong to or where they came from or where they went back to, but they were in full force, Jake. If they would have played Michigan, it would have been an electric atmosphere. But that just wasn't the case.
I just think Michigan State one was, they were by far the louder of the crowds. They were going to always be the most abundant just by size of school, size of the fact that you actually have a fan base there who didn't need to attend Michigan State. Like, how many Robert Morris fans you know that didn't go to Robert Morris, right? Probably like a whopping zero.
Correct. I actually had people I knew there, and they went to Robert Morris.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, again, the only fans, it's not even a knock. That's how a lot of colleges are that aren't especially a Power 5 conference. It's like, yeah, you're typically just, if you went there, or even if maybe, just maybe, you lived directly next to it, you might be a Robert Morris fan. Michigan State's not a national brand, but they're like a regional brand. Like, people are fans of Michigan State the same way, not quite in the same abundance, but, you know, you're a fan of Ohio State. I'm an Ohio State fan, never attended school in Columbus. Right? That's just naturally how it goes. They're the big program that you sort of latch onto. So it was always going to be the bigger crowd. I was truly just stunned at how many people showed up for that game compared to the first one and sort of what the difference was. So that's where I'm sort of on my, well, maybe you should go to March Madness, right? Like, probably it's cool. Again, I had a really good experience even in the first game, but it was definitely a different vibe in the second game where, oh no, this is for real and this is a lot more fun. Than Alabama St. Mary's was. If both games would have ended up like that, I probably would be sitting here telling you, well, it was something. Showed up, it was all right. But the second game truly made it all worth it. So that's my conclusion. My conclusion to you, if you get the chance, yes, attend a March Madness game. A ton of fun, even though I had to sit there and, you know, my bracket went fine between those two games. But every other game, was practically breaking my bracket left and right. Still got Duke, though. Still got Duke. That's what we're relying on. I did want to get to talking about the Browns, though, because we go through yet another weekend, and on Friday, obviously, we had the news Jameis Winston going to, where Jameis Winston goes to the Giants. And it was like, okay, well, maybe a little quarterback movement happening without Aaron Rodgers actually making a decision. But maybe we have a little something happening. And then we go through the weekend, and of course, it just absolute nothingness. I know that previously, like, Nick specifically had put through the idea that he was actually applauding the Browns for being patient. Right, and not jump into conclusions. And Nick and I didn't really even see eye to eye necessarily on that point alone. But it's now continued on and on where the Browns are truly held up by the simple idea that Aaron Rodgers has not made a decision and that the Browns are not going to jump Aaron Rodgers in the decision-making process, at least as it stands right now. It feels like before you get another quarterback move, at least a major one on somebody who could actually be a starter, you're going to need to see where Aaron Rodgers goes, and that's the big holdup. And normally I don't think this would mean much, but obviously without a quarterback in place yourselves, it starts to take a little difference of shape. And I think it starts to take a different feel in this city because, yeah, there's a lot of people who would stop and say, okay, well, the veteran I'm getting is going to be the guy that I'm going to stick with. But also, even then, it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that at some point in this draft, even if you're not draft a quarterback person, but at some point in this draft, the Browns are probably drafting a quarterback. And we've been waiting potentially to see, oh, who is the veteran they decide to sign that can then give you any insight into maybe who the rookie will be, right? You try to take the veteran and almost shape the rookie to fit, okay, well, if he's going to work, you know, he's got to work and he's got to play similarly to maybe even what Russ once played or have, you know, even touches of Russell Wilson's game within his own. And the farther and farther we get, two things are happening. One, we're rapidly approaching the draft. And now, officially today, a month away, we're a month away from the draft. On Thursday, April 24th, you're going to figure out who the Browns are taking very quickly after it begins. We have no insight. We're a month away, and you don't have any indicator on, oh, maybe the Browns will turn to player X. Shador, Cam Ward, neither of them. You have no indicator, and it was sort of wait to see what happens in free agency. Well, what's happened in free agency at the quarterback position for the Browns is a big whopping nothing. You've gotten to see nothing that is there, so I think that alone becomes concerning. But also, in the same vein, as we look at the Browns right now, and the other thing that's truly coming forward is you just haven't gotten an answer. You have no idea who's going to be playing for the Browns in 2025, and you're sitting here left wondering, as more and more options, even when we thought that there weren't going to be any Aaron Rodgers holdup, you've sort of dwindled your options down to Russ or, you know, turn the page down to Carson Wentz or whoever comes out next. But it's really just Russ or nothing at this point, because you're not involved in the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes, at least to any idea that we know. And there's not really anybody else out there and available, unless you're trading for Kirk Cousins, which it almost feels like in some way the Browns have distanced themselves from doing that entirely. At least the noise on it has certainly died down. But the more and more that the options came off the board, the less and less that you've sort of been dwindled down to having nothing. And as a Browns fan, I think you can look at that. And even if you're pro quarterback, I mean, we know I'm pro quarterback. I'm pro Shador Sanders at two. But even being pro quarterback, I know that the Browns wanted to add a veteran option. The intent that they've moved with this year is adding a veteran option in some capacity. But of course, you let the big names right out of the gates fly away. Those weren't going to be the options you turned to. It didn't feel like, oh, we're going to get a Justin Fields or a Sam Darnold. Those guys almost never felt like they were entirely on the table anymore. But as it continues to go and go, it's more seeming like, well, is Russ really going to go to the Browns? It doesn't feel like that's an option. It's pretty much, do the Giants end up with Aaron Rodgers, or do the Giants end up with Russell Wilson? Because where else is he going to go? Maybe aside Pittsburgh? But if he really wanted to be a Cleveland Brown, and the Browns really wanted him to be in Cleveland, and that was the mutual feeling, I'm starting to get the idea that Russ probably would have signed a contract the day he was here. But instead, here we are, sitting here waiting to see what Rodgers does, and I think sort of as a reactionary to that, if it's not the Giants, waiting for Russ to be gone and you to be left with your hands tied behind your back waiting for Carson Wentz. And I want to know, at 216-474-0092, are you becoming frustrated with the Browns' lack of movement at the quarterback position and the fact that they waited? Because I, for one, even as somebody who wanted quarterback, I would say I'm a little frustrated. We'll get into why coming up here in a few minutes. We're also going to hear what Deion had to say. I mean, he went to the ProMat conference. What can you say? Who would have expected anything different? But you're going to hear what Deion had to say about where he'd prefer Shador Sanders to end up in this draft cycle. A whole lot more coming your way as well. Coming up at 8 o'clock, we're going to talk to Spencer Davies of Cleveland Cavaliers on SI about the Cavs on their West Coast trip as that's about to wrap up and what it means for the playoffs. At 8:40, we'll continue with Draft Daily. We'll talk to Rob Long of 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, sister station, about what the Ravens might be planning on doing in the draft. And, of course, the station buzz at 7:40. Get a grip at 9. We'll bring in Mackenzie Flume later on in the show. But right now, 216-474-0092. I want to know if you've become frustrated with the Browns' lack of movement at the quarterback position and the fact that they're just sitting around and waiting. You can also get me on X at VolnickJake, V-O-L-I-N-E-C, Jake, so we can get to our social media reactions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. We'll get your calls and more coming up here in about 5 minutes. It's Jake Volnick with you guys right here on The Fan. Jake Vaughn with the guys on the Fan, asking you at 216-474-0092, are you becoming frustrated with the Browns' lack of movement at quarterback and them just sort of sitting still in the veteran quarterback market? We're also going to get to what Deion Sanders had to say. ProMat is such an interesting thing. I heard Nick and JP on the afternoon show were sort of joking back and forth about it, just because they were being very sarcastic. I think that they wanted to go, they wanted to attend. And I had no clue what it was, by the way. No clue. I saw ProMat and I was like, am I just out of the loop on something, right? That happens every once in a while, okay? Haven't been in the industry long enough. There's a lot of things that just occasionally happen that I'm like, oh, this is a thing that's natural that people actually talk about and a lot of people show up to, and I'm just not keen to at all. ProMat is very interesting, very odd that Deion would be there, because I looked it up. It's as the manufacturing and supply chains industry premier global event. Okay. All right. Good to know. Not sure why Deion's there, but there we are. But yeah, we'll get into what he had to say here coming up in a little bit. I truly am almost frustrated with it a little bit that the Browns haven't made any sort of move, and really only a couple of indicators on what they wanted to do at quarterback. Right, I think the initial thought and the danger that we had talked about going back the last couple of weeks, we had a conversation on it, that it was kind of, I liked the idea that you sat around and almost waited for your quarterback and you picked a couple of quarterbacks that, hey, I want to go after these guys, and these are the guys I'm going to go after. We talked about that basically right off the rip, right before free agency started, because, hey, if there's quarterbacks you want, make sure you target those guys. Like, don't sit around and wait. Don't do nothing. And you also don't have to talk to every quarterback under the sun. It is your right as a team to pick out a couple of guys that you like, but really pursue those guys. The problem with the Browns, and I think what they've run into, is when I made that claim, I made it with the assumption that, hey, one of your guys might be Justin Fields, or one of your guys might be Sam Darnold, or Daniel Jones, or somebody I can at least begin to sell myself on. And maybe Daniel Jones doesn't fall into that category for you. It does for me. I really just don't think, hey, the Browns had much of a plan to begin with behind, well, we'll just go after Kirk Cousins. He's going to get released. I think that's really what it fell into. And now you're seeing sort of the ripple effects and the repercussions of what the Browns are dealing with now, which is, uh-oh, there's not really another quarterback who's all that great. Let's bring in Russ and have a conversation. He started for a playoff team. We could at least make a sell on this one. He's good enough to bring in and have a conversation with. He might just not be great, but he's the next best option. And they're already putting into your mind the idea that, okay, well, if it's not going to be Russ, and obviously they didn't outwardly come out and say Kirk because he's under roster and he's under a contract and you can't really do that. But he also, they basically put it into your head, hey, Carson Wentz is out there and there'd be a quote-unquote mutual interest that you could be going into with Carson Wentz as the next Browns quarterback is a veteran option. You can't tell me when you started the free agency period, the quarterbacks that you liked the most were named Russell Wilson and Carson Wentz. And if it was, I have real, real concerns on the Browns' evaluation of quarterbacks. Because, yes, it was a bad free agency quarterback period, but at the end of the day, while it was still bad, there were a lot better options than Russ and Carson Wentz on the table. We've seen those two guys play within the last couple of years, but hey, it's not great. We absolutely don't love it. I just don't think that either of those guys have sold me on anything. Even with Carson Wentz, you look at his time in Indy, the numbers look okay. There's a reason Indy wasn't all that excited to try to run back Carson Wentz as a starter. It looked great. The eye test was not passed. So I think that comes into play as well. I would just love to have seen the Browns at least make an attempt, make it a public attempt at going after a better quarterback, when it really, to me, just feels like, well, we sat around and waited for Kirk, and now Kirk is probably not going to be an option, and we have to turn elsewhere, and we're sort of stuck. 216-474-0092. I want to get you guys' thoughts on this, whether or not you're frustrated with the Browns' lack of movement. And eventually here, we'll get into what Deion had to say. Let's go out to the phones. Mike is in Stowe. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, Jake. Good evening. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How about yourself?
Hanging in there for a Monday, right? Not bad.
Not a bad Monday at all.
No, sir. So I have absolutely no concerns about the Browns' lack of motivation to get a quarterback, because I just don't have any, you know, ideas that this season is going to present a whole lot of good things, other than hopefully the first step towards, you know, really rebuilding the roster rather than this, what we thought was this such a great roster coming into last season. I'm going this route, Jake. I'm hoping to think that Andrew Berry is playing the best poker of his life right now. You know, he's letting everybody think that, well, maybe they will take a quarterback because they haven't signed somebody yet, you know. And, you know, it's just, you want to create that buzz right now, because I do want to see him move down and get more for it. And if we can start with moving down from 2 to 3, that's a great start to this draft. I just don't mind the season not having a great one of these guys that we're talking about, because like you said, there's nobody really that great left. So it's a rebuilding year. It's a build the roster back up year. So quarterback later in the draft, I don't care. It is what it is. So, yeah, I'm not worried at all. That's what I got.
All right. I like it, Mike. I would say the only thing that sort of it turns me off from that idea is you could be playing the best poker of your life, and I think if you wanted to, Andrew Berry, this would be the way you play it, right? What are they going to do? It's looking more and more likely that you draft a quarterback among the top. But I would push back on the idea that it's the Giants, which would be the one that scares me. Because if the Giants are interested in trading up to get a quarterback, which is all possible, then they would, I think if they realize they could trade with the Browns to get up to 2, the Browns probably aren't all that serious about drafting a quarterback at 2. And that they're more likely to not, and they'd probably wait around and say, okay, you balk first, draft Shedeur Sanders, make us pay for it. That's more likely than I think, hey, we're going to draft Shedeur here unless you come in and trade it too. And you would have to be playing, again, sort of like said, Mike, the best poker of your life. I think you'd have to look beyond that. And at that point, who's trading up? Are the Saints trading up to take a quarterback right now? I don't know that that's their approach. And they're trying to figure that out immediately with Carr still on the roster. I would think probably not. There's probably a lot more things to figure out, but I don't know who else you're trading sort of into that spot. If you wanted them to trade back, it'd be great. 3 would be a good spot to be, because you still get one of the top players that you'd be looking at, but I just don't know that that's realistically possible. Let's go back out of the phones. Todd, what's going on, Todd?
Nah, Jake, I'm not frustrated. I feel confident that they've done so far what they were supposed to do. They moved a mediocre offensive lineman, or they let him go. I don't remember if they moved him and got something for him. Wasn't that Hudson?
Yeah, Hudson was gone. They just let him walk.
Okay, so Hudson
walked. Yeah, he's a free agent.
And then they brought somebody in who's less mediocre than him from the Commanders. Mm-hmm. He's not great, but he's better than Hudson. And that was their issue of greatest need last year. They needed to deepen the offensive line, because healthy – That's easy one of the top 5 offensive lines in the league. But they got to be healthy, so they needed a bench to back them up. So that's good. And Pickett is serviceable. He's better than Hudson. He's better than Robinson. And they had to give up something more than what I would have liked for them to give up. But they had to give up something. So they got a serviceable backup who may be able to compete well for a starting position. The stronger and deeper the offensive line, the lesser need for a great quarterback. So now I'm not frustrated, and frustration has no productive value anyway. I don't get frustrated about much of anything. However, if they get the draft day and them dudes are still at number 2 and they don't move and they draft the quarterback, man, have the jump button ready for if I call in. I'm serious about that. They need a big, strong brownstone wall for the Cleveland Browns of the offensive line, and nothing more than that is bigger than that, for sure. Can I say it one more time?
Go ahead, Todd.
Either Carter, Stewart, Pierce, or Williams, Penn State, Texas A&M, Texas, that's the one I think is the better pick further down the draft, and Williams from Georgia. That's what they need, and Carter plays linebacker probably just as good as he plays defensive line.
It gets interesting. I definitely, you know, I don't agree, but I always appreciate you making the call, Todd.
The shallow word of Todd is routinely available. All right, man.
All right, man. Oh, I just, I do, there are things that the Browns have done this offseason, to Todd's point, and I know that, that Todd and I definitely don't align because he's not on the quarterback train, but there are things, and I agree with Todd, that they've done well. I like James Hudson. I thought James Hudson was a good backup tackle, but you basically got the same thing right back with making a sign, right? Like, you lose Hudson, you basically get it right back. They went and got Tevin Jenkins, which I think is a pretty good signing as well. He was one of the better guards last year. So, again, a lot of adds that you got to that I was actually really happy with, but ultimately, I need you to put something forth that gets me a little bit excited. All right, I did want to get to what Deion had to say, and maybe we'll talk about this a little bit more later on as well. But he was at ProMat, which, again, no clue why, but he was there. And he had this sort of just a talk in saying that it is a really basic statement that if Shador was going to go somewhere, hey, Deion, where do you want him to go? And he said, we'd like him to go to New York. I don't know how much stock you're putting into what Deion has to say at this point, but I'm going to be honest with you. Mine, very little. I'm putting very little stock into anything that Deion says because every sign from Shador to this point has sort of pointed towards, well, the Browns would be interesting, right? He's posting Travis Bazana. He's playing with him in Madden. He's doing every little quirk and thing that he can put into the mix here to say, well, I'd love to play for the Cleveland Browns. I don't know that I can put stock in what Deion has to say. I think he likes to create buzz. I think he likes to put Shador's name in the media and throwing out New York a lot of times makes a ton of sense in order to do that. So I think that's sort of what you ran into more than anything, is that Deion was just talking basically to talk and try to create buzz. And why wouldn't he throw Shador out as a potential, maybe we'd really like for him to go play in New York. By the way, while talking in front of tons of people in Chicago, Illinois. Yeah, it seems like big city's a much more fun mention than Cleveland. Just saying. I'm not putting a ton of stock in what Deion has to say. I truly believe that Deion is so much lesser of the I'm scared about this player's dad of like a LaVar Ball. So much so. I think you're looking at two very different things. Sure, Deion would be involved. I just don't think he'd be involved as heavily. I've been saying that. And I think ultimately if the Browns say we want Shador and they draft Shador, Deion's just going to go, okay, that's your pick. Have fun. All right. 216-474-0092 if you want to jump in on the Browns. But coming up here in about 5 minutes, we'll get to the station buzz. And coming up at 8 o'clock, Spencer Davies, Cleveland Cavaliers on SI. It's Jake Volnick with you guys until 11 right here on The Fan. Jake Volnick with you guys on The Fan. Coming up here in about 16 minutes, we're going to talk to Spencer Davies, Cleveland Cavaliers on SI. West Coast trip has not gone nice. Not at all. Has not been a good time. I fear that it started to turn around, though, like almost a 30-point win over the Utah Jazz. We'll see what Spencer thinks about it. Again, that's coming up at 8 o'clock. We're going to get to the station buzz here coming up in a few minutes, but I did want to go out to the phones at 216-474-0092. Ryan's in New Jersey and wanted to jump in, talking a little Deion and Shador. Ryan, what's going on?
Hey, Jake, how you doing? Yeah, just want to chime in, man. Back to Ohio, but hearing a lot of sports talk here in New Jersey, New York area about Sanders and Rodgers, et cetera. A lot of stuff that coincides us, the Browns fans. And again, you alluded to a lot of great stuff, which is LaMelo Ball, his dad, and just other dads in yesteryears that have kind of put their step down on, you know, what they want instead of really what the kid wants. And again, I understand where you guys are coming from. Deion is a different, unique individual. He does have that animosity and aggressive nature to him, but I don't think he's anything from LaMelo Ball's dad at all. I think he's more equivalent to, hypothetically, a Archie Manning's dad, where Archie didn't want his kid Eli going to San Diego instead of got him to go to New York. Even John Elway back in yesterday, was 83, I think it was, got his kid instead of going to the Colts, Baltimore at the time. Went ahead and sat out, went to the Yankees for a minute, and then obviously went back to draft. I'm really saying, hypothetically, if the Browns didn't want to decipher going forward with Sanders, which I strongly disagree, man. But if hypothetically they did, I know there'd be some hiccups along the way. What road barriers there may be, I'm not sure. What Deion's influence can do, I'm not sure. I just feel truly he wants his kid to go to NFC with him playing with the Atlanta Falcons, San Francisco 49ers, Dallas Cowboys. He's just an NFC guy. It's a big city. It's a big time scenario. I don't feel Sanders would fit us in our city. I want to win more than anything, Jake. I just don't know if that's the guy regardless. So with that being said, man, I really, truly, truly just want to trade with somebody. We fell face first in the second pick of the row with the horrendous season. But at the same time, we can maximize this number two pick of the row. And last, I just want to say, in yesteryears, you've seen RG3's trades, number two pick overall, for three first-rounders. You've seen guys like Wentz going to Philly, too, from us, from the 2016 draft, for trading some players. And again, there's a lot on the table. It's just how much can you maximize the opportunity? I just don't see these quarterbacks being the future of the Browns. With that being said, Jake, great show as always, man. Thanks, Nick Michael.
Yep, appreciate the call, Ryan. I just don't know what's going to be there and available to be traded for at that rate. And whether or not it's truly worth it. Like, you're not going to have the number two pick. Who you trade with likely will not have the number two pick, if I had to take a guess. I'm going to guess you're probably not trading with, the Titans. Who else is jumping up to take the pick? It's probably going to be a team that's better. You're not going to be put in that position again. I just don't see trading back and acquiring a ton working out for you. Again, in the one-year scope that Barry and Stefanski have to focus on. Again, coming up in about 13 minutes, we're going to talk to Spencer Davies of Cleveland Cavaliers on SI. But in the meantime, let's get to the station buzz. All right, what did the voices around the station today, the guests that we had on all day long, have to say? The most pressing things coming your way. We start with Scott Petrak of BrownZone.com. He was on with Baskin and Phelps. And let's keep it rolling with Shador Sanders. He talked about just sort of what's likable about him, what's not.
So I think there's a lot to like about him. And I get that he's not the most gifted athlete, but I don't think that is necessarily the most important thing for a quarterback. I think it affects the evaluation before the draft. But what confuses me is you hear analysts say, well, you know, he shouldn't go number two. The Browns should take somebody else. But then the Giants have to take him at three. Well, the Browns need a quarterback as much as anybody. So he's good enough to go number three. He's certainly good enough to go number two.
And that's a guarantee. If you're saying, and anybody at this point is saying, oh, but the Giants should draft him at three. Guys, if you're going to take him in the top three of the draft, he's worth taking in the top two of the draft. It's not that big of a difference. There's no one player who is ruling out the idea that, like, oh, you know, Abdul Carter's such a can't miss that you have to take him at two. Or Travis Hunter is such a can't miss. You have to. No, you don't. This is not Myles Garrett. There's no conversation about whether or not, okay, if you really like the quarterback, it could be better than Abdul and Travis Hunter. Those guys are sort of wild cards in of themselves. You just don't know what you're getting out of either of them. So I would point to it and say, all right, I think I still like the idea. I like Shador, obviously, but I could still go quarterback. And if you think he's going to go to the Giants at three, again, I'd almost rather at that point be the team at least taking the swing and making a mistake than the team who's left in the dust going, oh, yeah, we still don't have a quarterback, and that one that was available to us, yeah, that one panned out. Doesn't feel like a very good pull to me. That's only if you like Shador and you're the Browns, but it really does kind of seem like they do. All right. Let's go to Afternoon Drive with Joe DeLeon of A to Z Sports on, as they do every week. And he made the claim, the number one pick this year in the NFL draft, a lock.
I feel like this is starting to become the worst kept secret for the entire draft class. I feel as though as soon as they brought him in for that visit after the combine, there was still speculation. There was still a possibility that there could be a trade up, and you know the Giants were trying to be aggressive about moving up to get him. That is completely shut down. I don't think there's been any reporting. I don't think anyone has even indicated that somebody has tried to call to move up. For Tennessee's case, it makes so much sense. Will Levis, maybe they wanted to give him another shot. That was something that was reported on by Diana Russini at the combine. But you have a quarterback on the board and you're picking first overall that is supremely talented, that is an extremely natural, gifted playmaker that can take over games.
Yeah, it does kind of feel like, and we talked to Terry McCormick of Titan Insider on Friday for Draft Daily, and he was like, yeah, it's going to be Cam Ward at one. Really does feel like that's the way that it's going to lean, and I don't feel it going a whole lot of other ways. So I would probably say it's pretty fair of Joe DeLeon here to say that Cam Ward's basically a guarantee to be the number one pick in the draft. And I think that's just sort of the assumption we've all came to at this point, that, yeah, it's just sort of where you stand. All right, our very own, our Cleveland Browns beat reporter, our Cleveland sports beat reporter, Daryl Ryder, was on with the Morning Boys with Lima and G. Bush today. And he just had some comments at the quarterback at two as he kind of flips his words from where he originally stood.
They all stink. They're not taking you anywhere. They're biding you time until you find the guy. The guy is not available, in my opinion, this offseason. With every single one of these quarterbacks in the draft, I have serious reservations about them all. But it's not that I support it, it's that I understand it. There's one thing that the Cleveland Browns are really, really good at. And no, it's not playing football. It's selling fans on hope.
I don't know that you want to make the claim that all this is a sell of hope. I don't think that this is a guaranteed sell of hope. But you don't just draft a quarterback to draft a quarterback. And I truly don't think that would be the response that you're getting out of Andrew Berry, knowing that his job's on the line. It's not just a sell of hope, because hope doesn't get you a job next year. It does not keep you employed. I just feel like Daryl has come to a full stage of acceptance where you sit there now and you're like, well, I don't want him to go quarterback. They're going to go quarterback. So here I am, stuck waiting, stuck sitting here, having to come to the conclusion. Daryl Ryder, we'll talk to you tomorrow. And maybe his thoughts on that, going to stay the exact same. I guarantee you they're going to stay the exact same. All right, let's switch over to the Cavs. Matt Moore, NBA writer for the Action Network, was on with Baskin and Phelps today and just sort of talked about the losing streak and that this Cavs team has not reached almost their final form.
But you run up against a team that messes with what you do fundamentally, and all of a sudden it's, oh, they're not in rhythm. It's because of all the no, it's because they faced a team that put them into a position where they weren't comfortable. So it depends on who they face in those series, and if you're good enough, you can still overcome those types of things. I think the habits are important, but I know that the Cavaliers understand the mechanisms and the execution of what they want to do, and they've shown that and they've proven that. I've actually been really impressed with the fact that after, you know, in mid-January, they started to level off a little bit offensively, and I was like, all right, they might have peaked. And then they got way better, not just offensively, but defensively. They showed an ability to get into the top 10 defensively. They've slid out since then. But they have a gear that they've shown, and they are not a team that has max. That's what you don't want to be. You don't want to be a team like the Knicks every single year, where you're playing at top gear the whole way and you've got nothing extra for the playoffs. So to me, the Cavs are managing the schedule, and they have another gear that they can get to.
I think this is truly what I talk about when it's, okay, are you scared about the Cavs getting there? Are you scared of what they're at? And I said they could lose all but one of these games on this West Coast road trip, which they're pretty close to getting to. And I just don't think I'd be scared because, yeah, we've seen them get to a different gear. We've seen them win games and sort of elevate their play. And this is just them going, well, these games don't matter all that much. We'll get back to winning. But do we really need to be winning right now? Does this really have to be the time we're putting all of our eggs in a basket? No, hey, let's make sure that we're healthy. Let's make sure we're getting to the point we need to, and the gear is going to kick in real soon here. You got a 30-point win almost over the Jazz. You got to be happy. All right, that'll do it for the Station Buzz. Coming up here in about 5 minutes, Spencer Davies, Cleveland Cavaliers on SI, going to join us for what on earth is going on with the Cavs and how it affects them heading into the playoffs here in just a few weeks. It's Jake Volnick with the guys on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.